I think it comes back to what is a human being? And one way of thinking about it is in the natural, we are very fixated on things of the senses being substantial and the immaterial things being non-substantial. That's reasoning from the senses, and that's what we're stuck in. But when we really think about it, it's not a stretch to see that it's our belief structures and our affections that really determine the quality of our life. So that is what is really real. So a human being is, well, what's said in the word is that they are will and understanding. So you can't have a will without affections, and you can't have an understanding without concepts and ideas. Right, so an understanding without any concepts or ideas or knowledge is not an understanding, right? Same with the will. So what we are an organization of thoughts and affections, spiritually speaking, or mentally. So spiritual and mental are the same. You know, they're interchangeable words. And how does that manifest representatively on a physical plane? It represented via a human body. So every aspect of the human body, every body system, every function within a human body represents a mental structure or a particular way that goods and truths are organized. So for example, just a simple example is the function of the kidney is to filter. So we have modes of thinking that filters what comes in and out, what's allowable or not, right? So every body function has a mental counterpart. So that's what's understood as correspondence. But the body is brought into being because there is a spiritual function, because the body is the representation of the function. So we're born into a body to have the experience of sense-based truths upon which spiritual ideas can be built up. So just as an example, you are born into the world and you grow up believing you are the center of the world. Whether you admit it or not, that's how you function. You are the center of the world. Of course, that's not true, but that's what we believe. But what it provides you with is the idea that there is a being at the center of all. That is true. So we need truths to flip that around so that I am no longer the center. The Lord is the center of all. So that's one example. Another example is that when we're born into the physical world, we have the experience of things flowing into our senses, and it appears as if those things generate thoughts, right? Now, what that gives us is an inverted experience of influx, things coming into something. The problem is that it is inverted. Things don't come in. They flow from what is within to without. But we get the mirror image at this level. And what doctrine does is it corrects the understanding so that we can now see that the external world is not the cause of my problems. The problem is not without. The problem is revealed to be within. What do those external events and situations ground within? So, you know, it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but what comes out. And what comes out are the thoughts and affections that are active at an unconscious level. And what external sensory experiences give us is an opportunity to see what we don't normally see, as long as we can bring truths to bear on our experience. Now, those truths are set in levels. So we have natural truths, there are spiritual truths, and there are celestial truths. That's the tripart kind of structure that can overlay all this. Now, spiritual truths are present by means of spiritual beings. Or there is an organization of spiritual ideas and concepts that exists at a higher level. And as much as you are an organized being, experience yourself as an organized being, there are much higher organizations of spiritual ideas that are also spiritual beings. And those spiritual beings we call angels. Angels are a higher level of truths and affections that can influence what is lower, because what is higher always can influence what is lower. And the whole work is to bring ourselves into alignment with those higher ideas so that the lower ideas that we're in contact with through our physical existence can be ordered. So, for example, the idea that all life flows in, right, that you are not the source of your life, that divine providence is over all things, those things have to be communicated by an inward way whereby they can have an influence on our life. And in order for them to have an influence in our life, we need ideas from the word in our natural level to serve as containers that can hold what's flowing in. And that is the influence of angelic beings. So it's angelos, right? That's the word, angelos, the Greek word, which means a messenger. So what are truths the messengers for, right? Truths, genuine truths, carry what is good. And so an angelic consciousness has acknowledged that the Lord is the only life. And because of that, is able to receive what is of the Lord and is able to maintain a state, whereas what is of itself is pushed to the external. Now, we can't directly receive from the divine. What's termed immediate influx, you know, keeps things functioning, but we can't receive that consciously. What we receive consciously, so our understanding of truth, if you like, has to be stepped down to the lowest level. So you have to have what can receive at a higher level and what can receive below that and below that and below that. Like, so we get something from the word. The insights we receive, say, that is influx being stepped down to a level where we can receive it. And every level that is stepping that down is a form of angelic consciousness, from a higher form through to immediate form to a lower form. And then we receive into our natural understanding light. And that light presents in the experience of insight, particularly insight as to what is preventing a greater degree of light being present. So at this level of life, we're working with what opposes what is heavenly. And all those structures are structures of goods and truths, which you can't separate from minds of beings, because that's what goods and truths dwell in. Like, at this level, we kind of get the idea that truth is sort of some kind of abstract thing that can just sit there. But you don't have any truth without it being present in a mind, in some form of consciousness. In a similar way, and it's probably more stark with evil and falsity, we experience having ideas and feelings we don't want. So the question that sits in that is, if I'm experiencing ideas and feelings I don't want, and I don't want them, where are they coming from? How is it possible for me to experience what I don't want? And again, it's influx. So there are living entities that are organized around what is evil and false. And we equally serve as a plane for those as we do for higher influence. But the lower influence is in your face. It's much more present. Higher influence is much more subtle, because what's honored from a heavenly perspective is your freedom and rationality. What's of a hellish nature doesn't give a damn about your freedom and rationality. It only wants the delight of you believing that it's you, that those things are rising within a you, because then they get traction in your life. So there's no thought or affection that sits outside your body. But there are representations, and what the word does is it instructs us in a way whereby we can come into a deeper understanding of things through what those representations illustrate and convey when they're understood from a spiritual perspective or a mental perspective.